From the land of the Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon, including last week's Brexit, the impact it might have on agriculture, in particular on the pork industry in the United States. And we'll hear from a former trade negotiator in Washington, D.C. on what impact the Brexit will have on U.S. agricultural trade, not only with Britain, but with the European Union. We'll also check in on the weather forecast with the guys at Brisk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, and take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures for July, corn up 0.75 cents to 3.85 and a quarter. September, 3.89 and a quarter, a quarter higher. And December corn unchanged, $3.94 and a quarter. The March contract at 4.01, 0.75 cents lower. The May down 0.75 cents at 4.05. July off a half at 4.08 and a half. Soy complex, July beans up 30 cents, $11.33. August, 28 and a quarter higher at 11.29 and 3/4. September up 27 and 3/4 at 11.14, November at 11.04 and 3/4, the new crop harvest up 26 and a quarter, January at $11 a penny and a half, up 25, and the March at 10.64 and 3/4, 16 and 3/4 higher, July of next year at 10.51 and a half, up 12 cents. Bean oil up 27 at 31.26, the bean meal for the day up $8.40 at $384 even. July soft red winter wheat at 4.46 and 3/4, down 8 cents. December down 6 and 3/4 at 4.78, and the hard red July at 4.12 and 3/4, down 10 cents even. Live cattle futures in Chicago, June contract 115.85, up $1.15. August at $111.90, $1.02.5 higher. August feeder cattle at $40.10, up 65 cents. And lean hogs for the day, July at $83.10, down 95 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media this Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel is here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the soybeans, because those were the markets that were really moving today. What happened to cause the July contract, August, September, and November to be up somewhere between 25 and 30 cents?
Well, we feel several things all coming together at once. Probably front and center is the longer-term weather forecast. Even though we have some cooler temperatures here over the next week, we're seeing a situation where it's going to be relatively dry, across the Midwest. There's ideas that 25-30% of the Midwest has kind of missed these rain events that we've witnessed here over the last week and a half. So there's some concern areas out there that need watching. This afternoon's conditions expected show maybe 1-2% deterioration. But it's going to be a balancing act, because there are some areas that improved tremendously with the moisture, and other areas kind of decline. But, longer term, 30-day outlook's warmer and drier, and that's when we start getting into July and start talking about late July, early August weather could affect the bean market growing season as we get a little closer to that time window. Then we did see 150,000 ton bean sell to unknown destination, and 132 was old crop, 18 was the new crop. So there's still, quite a bit of demand out there. Shipments were decent at 10 million bushels. So we're selling beans, and we're moving beans along with crush. Crush is looking good. They're crushing beans. There's some need there to gather some inventory for meal and oil both. Then Friday's hog and pig report, even the cattle and feed numbers are showing we got strong livestock sector, and we'll need to continue to crush for the meal as we continue to feed it. Then lastly, too, we are due some cyclical lows. The market, you know, had corrected in through here, and I think we just came in and saw the fundamental, the technical, and the trader see that there's some good value here on the break we saw here last week, Todd.
One of the outside markets that I believe has been having a great impact, and I suppose this might show up more in the soybeans than the corn, is the U.S. dollar. It was at a bottom around 93 last week, and now it has jumped substantially, nearly 97 today, 96.865 is the top end of that marketplace. Is it having much of an impact?
Well, I've got a little bit different opinions of the dollar than most do, but, you know, whenever you do see a product that we export, it does give some good value. So it's keeping the export market in the game here. I think probably what's more of a factor is cheaper world freight rates, and I think that's had a little bit more of a dramatic impact. But we'll watch the actual export numbers, not just price, to see if this weaker dollar has stimulated demand. But you know, the concern with Europe, it might have generated some buying interest on hard assets. They are buyers of our meal. And, you know, we could see some export business show up down the road here, you know, if the uncertainty of what's going on in Europe, you know, continues to be in the background.
On Thursday of this week, USDA will release a couple of reports at 11 a.m., really important ones, the acreage and the grain stocks numbers. What are your predictions?
Well, we're mainly going to be probably watching the acreage morning. That's probably the most advertised number. When you look at 92.9 million corn acres, it trades, you know, mixed on whether that number's going to go up or down from last year. Last go-around here, we saw 93.6. I think it'll be that number or a little less. On the bean side, last month we saw 82.2. There's ideas, you know, that could be more up towards 84 million acres. So we'll see how the numbers come in. I think the trade's been talking about that for quite some time. Once that number comes out, we'll start putting some type of yield number on that, and that's going to move the bottom line. But I kind of feel, you know, the acres are going to be strong. Didn't see a whole lot of situations where guys went prevent plant. And so the acres are there. It's just where they fall. The stocks, that's going to help gauge on where we are for crop inventory. Bean stocks are expected to be 830 million bushels on beans. Corn stocks, as of June 1st, around about 4.5 billion bushels. So we'll see how the numbers fall and how the trade reaction occurs there at 11 o'clock Thursday morning.
Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that 20% to 25% of the Midwest, the Corn Belt, may not have received the beneficial rains over the last several weeks, and there might be some drier conditions there that could show up yet this afternoon. We're waiting for that to happen at 3 o'clock in the numbers that come out from the United States Department of Agriculture for the weekly crop condition and prospects report. Have you talked to anybody in those western regions of Illinois that might be suffering, parts of, I guess, southern Iowa, maybe some of Missouri?
Oh, yeah. We seem to get most of the calls from there as it's, you know, struggling and really struggling with the market going down. But we've got some pockets here that's not too far from home. You get, you know, portions of Decatur down around Windsor. You get, you know, southern Illinois, Paducah. You watch radar. Some of these areas look like they're receiving rain, and they're not. Western Illinois is really hit and miss. In fact, that ground there, we're seeing a lot of irrigation being run just due to the fact they're behind on some moisture. Missouri as a whole could probably see some improvement, but there's still that northern area that's struggling. And there's portions of Iowa. And then I talked to guys in Minnesota, they've been too wet. So there's a lot of different variable situations in a short distance from each other, but you know, things just aren't perfect everywhere.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
All right. Very good, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, if you're wondering how the Brexit will impact U.S. agriculture, you might skip on over to the Farm Doc Daily website. You'll find an article there titled Modest Pork Expansion, but Brexit Cast Shadow. It's written by Purdue Extension agricultural economist Chris Hurt. In it, he says, since the Brexit announcement, the dollar has increased by about 3.5% relative to the euro, and that the countries in the European Union have been the largest exporters of pork in the world for the last 2 years. He goes on to say that farmers selling pork from the 19 countries in the EU that use the euro now have an immediate price advantage over U.S. pork producers, too.
Or we could say that another way. Brexit gives our biggest global pork competitor a sizable and immediate price advantage.
You can read more about the Brexit from Chris Hurt and last Friday's June Hogs and Pigs report, too, on the Farm Doc Daily website. And oh, stay with us right here on the Closing Market Report. We'll take those impacts up in more depth a bit later in the program. Now, let's turn our attention to Vermont, where a GMO labeling bill is supposed to go into effect on July 1st. Vermont's governor says a national GMO labeling standard makes sense, but Peter Shumlin says he has deep concerns regarding the Senate's bill that was put forth last week. Shumlin's concerned because the Senate compromise would delay labeling for several years and allow the food manufacturers to choose how to disclose the information. Shumlin signed the Vermont mandatory labeling law back in 2014. It's supposed to go into effect this Friday, the first day of July. The Senate bill would supersede Vermont's law and prohibit states from setting their own labeling requirements. It would also give the U.S. Department of Agriculture 2 years to finalize the national regulations. Many agricultural groups applauded the compromise announced by the Senate Agriculture Committee last week, recognizing the need for a national standard rather than a patchwork of state laws. The legislation does not come in time to completely block the Vermont law, as the House is on recess until the 5th day of July. It is also still unclear if the Senate has enough votes to pass the legislation. A voluntary GMO labeling bill failed on a procedural vote in the Senate earlier in this year. Let's move from politics and policy now into the corporate world. Bayer Ag says the company does not need the approval of shareholders to acquire Monsanto. In a legal filing, an executive from Bayer wrote, "A shareholder vote is not required by German law." The statement comes after Bayer had spent about a month trying to warm its shareholders to the idea that buying Monsanto is good for business. The St. Louis, Missouri-based Monsanto has rejected an offer by the German-owned Bayer. Bayer reportedly has secured $63 billion in financing, but has not publicly stated if it has presented another offer to acquire Monsanto. Monsanto rejected the initial offer and also rejected a request for information to justify Bayer increasing its bid. Monsanto said it would only release more details if Bayer boosted its offer, stalling the efforts. And finally today, don't forget that this Wednesday, farmers and others interested in weeds can learn more at the University of Illinois Weed Science Field Tour. The tour kicks off early in the morning, says U of I's Aaron Hager.
It'll be at the South Farm. We'll begin the program at roughly somewhere 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. It'll be very similar in terms of format to what we've done before. We'll all gather around the South Farm at the Seed House for a few introductory remarks and comments. And then everybody will get back into their vehicles and we'll carpool across Windsor Road and look at some of the research plots that we have on the animal science tracks.
Again, the 2016 University of Illinois Weed Science Field Day is Wednesday, this Wednesday, the 29th day of June, at the University of Illinois Crop Sciences Research and Education Center. That's the South Farms, located just to the east of the State Farm Center, the Assembly Hall. Coffee and refreshments will be available under the shade trees near the Seed House beginning at 8 a.m. in the morning. The cost for the Urbana Weed Science Field Tour is just $10. The event will conclude around noon with a catered lunch. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Well, last week's vote by Britain to exit the European Union will have the U.S. and European trade negotiators on hold, that according to a former USDA trade chief. Paul Drazik, who ran USDA's trade shop in the Clinton administration, says with all the confusion now surrounding Britain's trade relations with the EU after Brexit, the U.S. suddenly faces a new trade reality across the Atlantic.
It's going to be a confusing period, and I cannot imagine that in the short term there's going to be a U.S.-EU free trade agreement. The TTIP, I think, probably is going to be put on hold. I may be wrong, but it's hard for me to imagine with all the uproar and focus being given to what's going to happen with the UK leaving, that the Europeans will have time.
But more importantly for the US, with Britain out and one-sixth of the EU's economic output gone, Washington is no longer negotiating with the same European Union.
The opportunities for us in a negotiation with the EU are diminished, the opportunities to sell more to the UK. So everything is up in the air, and like I said, I have trouble imagining that the TTIP negotiations will move along at any pace whatsoever for the time being.
Britain will have to rewrite its own trade rules and redo World Trade Organization membership, along with trade deals with the United States and others, under an expected new government. Drazik also argues London will no longer have trade freedom in Europe.
If they think that they can now freely produce how they want without any impact and then sell their products in the continent, they're wrong.
He says there is no question that the European Union will be diminished once Britain does the legal work over 2 or 3 years to leave. And if others, including France or Norway, decide the same route, the EU will be further diminished as a trading partner for the U.S. and American agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the cash grain market. Greg Johnson is on the line. He's from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers calling it all today?
Not really. I think they're very disappointed after last week's price action. And with the big government reports coming out this Thursday, I think most of them are going to wait and see if we can get some kind of a rebound based on either the reports or based on the weather forecast later on in July.
Any collective wisdom from the Andersons about the Brexit and the impact it may have over the longer term? I know you would be exiting, you would be exporting primarily, I would think, probably wheat out through the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yeah, it's a headwind, basically. This Brexit decision is a headwind to commodities. I mean, you know, a weaker pound, a weaker sterling, a weaker euro leads to a stronger U.S. dollar, which makes our exports more expensive. So to some extent, it's going to hurt exports a little bit. But if Argentina and Brazil only have a limited amount of beans to sell, for example, basically China or whoever needs beans is going to have to pay our price, whether they're a little bit higher because of the U.S. dollar or not. So I would look at the Brexit thing as a minor thing. It's a headwind, but I really think the bigger picture is the weather. If we have a big crop, then yes, prices can go down and we can use that as an excuse. But if we don't have a good crop, I'm not sure that the dollar is going to be that big of a factor.
How have your basis levels been holding up through the weather-driven marketplace over the last couple of weeks?
We've started to see the corn basis start to pick up. I think it's probably 2 to 4 cents better over the last 2 to 3 weeks. The bean basis has not improved very much. I think the board, the futures price, is doing most of the work when it comes to getting beans to move. So bean basis has been relatively unchanged, but corn basis is starting to show some signs of picking up.
So Decatur remains at overs for its corn, but that's not the case everywhere. The river is not even over at this point.
No. Like I say, it's not real strong, but, you know, we're starting to see whatever basis levels were 2-3 weeks ago. We're probably seeing a 2 to 3, maybe even a 4 cent improvement from where it was 3 weeks ago.
And your expectations going forward?
I just don't get the sense there's a lot of old crop corn left out there. And if it is, it's in the hands of a concentrated few. So I guess I still think corn basis probably has the most room to get better. Bean basis, you know, when beans are swinging 25, 30 cents a day on the board, I think basis almost plays second fiddle. I think that, you know, the basis will let the board do most of the work there for better or worse. But corn basis, I still see that getting a little bit better over the next month and a half.
And your bids there at the Andersons in Champaign for the day.
Old crop corn, 375. New crop corn, 369. Old crop beans, 1110. New beans are 1075. And wheat is 437.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Let's turn our attention to the agricultural weather forecast. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's with Brisk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Mark, let's go through what happened last week. What parts of the Midwest have and have not been able to pick up rainfall?
Think of it kind of I-80 with the exception of Michigan. That zone of areas of like northern Illinois, Wisconsin, northern Iowa, Minnesota did really well with the precipitation amounts from the storms that developed last week. On the other hand, you go south of I-80 in most areas and they missed out with some of the driest areas, not only for the past week, but also going back several weeks as portions of southern Iowa, Missouri, in the central southern Illinois, southern Indiana. So that's been really the dry-biased region here in recent weeks, not only over the past week. So that puts more emphasis, obviously, on that zone, getting opportunities for precip and helping to improve soil moisture, which you know leads to the forecast. Are there any opportunities for significant rainfall here coming up over the next couple of weeks? And first off, from a macro perspective, it looks like the bulk of the Midwest is going to be in a drier than normal pattern. And that does include the southern part of the Midwest that could use some more rain. Now, the time frame to watch, the best opportunity for rainfall over the next couple of weeks is going to be taking place right after the 4th of July holiday weekend here. And it's going to be a frontal passage here taking place that's going to provide an opportunity for rain. Question of where do those storms fire up? Do they fire up directly over those dry areas or do they develop further south out of the dry areas? But that's what we're watching with the computer model output that's going to be issued here from this point on. And as it looks right now, it looks like an okay opportunity, but it doesn't look great.
And these are relatively isolated. Are they along a ridgeline? Are they broad across the Midwest?
Yeah, more from a scattered thunderstorm setup. And really, in order to provide more widespread rains in the Midwest, such as what we had here, at least in the northern Midwest, over the past week to 10 days, you actually like to see the ridge of high pressure come back to the Midwest. Right now, it's located out over the western U.S., and as we get into as we get towards the end of the 2-week time frame, that's going to be an opportunity. That's going to be a time frame where the ridge, some indications of that beginning to move back into the middle of the country, and such as what we saw last week, you have thunderstorms firing off on the northern periphery of the ridge, and at least that would be at least a better potential. But we're talking after 2 weeks, and in the short term, it's that early part of next week, which is between now and over the next 15 days, is that good opportunity.
Thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Brisk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.